I wonder if our next guest can even help us out at all about that. He's got plenty on his plate, though. Andrew Abdo has been good enough to join us on a Sunday morning. Andrew, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for joining us. And I don't know if you heard the quiz, but we just go from bad to worse in the quiz. You might have to get the boys to step into the bunker or something and fix this up.
No, I'm quite happy leaving it in your hands, in your capable hands.
I think you've got enough on your plate at the moment, yeah. Andrew, anyway.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for joining us. I guess we have to ask you straight up about the comments last night from Ricky Stewart. It's caused an incredible amount of talk back and text messages this morning. Do you have an opinion on it, albeit you would not have obviously had a chance to investigate why and how it happened?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, clearly the comments are disappointing, and we're going to take a close look at it. It has just happened, as in last night, so everyone deserves, you know, sort of due process on that, and so we'll engage with all, you know, with Ricky, understand all the facts, gather all the information, and then you know, deal with it through the course of the early part of this coming week, as we do with everything that happens over the round. So I won't make any comment on it. It's a live matter. Clearly, it's very serious, and we'll take a look at it and understand all the facts.
Does it come under integrity, Andrew?
Yes. Whenever there's an issue like this, then we ask the integrity team to gather information and have a look at it. And obviously, as a decision maker, I also need to involve myself and, you know, speak to the respective parties as well.
Yeah, so watch this space. More to come. Read that Ricky Stewart incident. Andrew, we did have a caller earlier ask about the grand final. Can you tell us where the grand final will be played this year?
I mean, obviously, we are in the middle of trying to finalise our agreement with the New South Wales government. There's been a lot, you know, spoken and written about it. Everyone, I think, is probably tired of hearing about it. Mm. We believe we have a deal in place. We want to honour that deal. So the default position, obviously, is for us to play at the grand final in Sydney, especially after, you know, last year and missing out because of COVID. So that's what we're all aiming for. Hopefully, it can get resolved, you know, very quickly in. We'll be able to get on sale and fans will be able to start getting excited for the grand final.
Andrew, do you think there'll be some certainty around this issue this week?
Yes, I think so. Certainly hope so. You know, it's now getting time critical and we want to put this behind us and talk about football and talk about what is culminating in a very exciting finish to the regular season and then obviously a very exciting final series. So, yes, we want to close the matter down, and we're obviously engaging with the New South Wales government on a regular basis. You know, as you've heard our chairman, Peter Vilandi, say, we believe we had a deal. We've been very flexible and fair and patient, but, you know, at some point, you know, we also have to stand up. And these are not just for rugby league fans, but for everyone who will get advantage of using these multi-sport, multi-purpose community assets.
Andrew, we saw a very unfortunate accident at Leichhardt Oval yesterday afternoon in a GPS rugby game. I assume you have seen that vision out and about, which was another clear indication, certainly to me, that, you know, these grounds do need a lick of paint, so to speak.
Yeah, look, I mean, first of all, it was very unfortunate, and you know, obviously we hope that there wasn't anyone that was seriously injured. I believe there are some injuries, but that's very unfortunate, and we obviously think about those people involved. You don't want to see those types of images, as you say, Bulldog. You know, like we all go to sport to enjoy it and to take advantage of the opportunity to immerse ourselves in whatever that sport is. And that was a very unfortunate incident and obviously not scenes that we like to see. And, you know, it kind of, I suppose, that, you know, the point we wanted to make is these are multi-sport, multi-purpose community assets. And, you know, we just want to make sure that we have the best facilities available for not just the fans, but also for the players as well, particularly now as we start to think about the growth of the women's game. Leichhardt's a great example of a stadium that, you know, certainly needs an upgrade in terms of facilities for both players and fans.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, I think the NRL's position's well-known, really suburban grounds, and I think most rugby league supporters are very much agreeing with the NRL stance to try and continue to have that emphasis on suburban grounds. The AFL went down a different model, but the suburban grounds for fans of their local teams, there's nothing like going to, for me, I love going to Penrith Park, whether it's a Sunday afternoon or a Thursday night. Fans of the Dragons love to go to Cogra. Fans of Manly love to go to Brookie or Four Pines. For the long term, that's the strategy of the NRL, isn't it? To remain invested in suburban grounds and to give local communities reason to feel proud and go to the footy.
Yes, that's absolutely right. That strategy is not changing. This is just a question of how we get there and the timing that it takes. Because of all the reasons you outlined, I mean, I think you summarised perfectly. It is about tribalism and it is about that sense of local community and having an opportunity for that local community to have their fortress. And that fortress isn't just for an NRL club. That fortress is for tag football, for other sports, and an opportunity for grassroots teams to also have that facility. But the other aspect of it is, of course, Sydney is different. And New South Wales is different to the rest of the country, and certainly what other sports, what other sports follow in terms of their strategy is all contextual. I mean, for us, you know, Sydney is made up of many villages and made up of many communities, and the rivalry and the banter and the ability to have that real sense of local, that local fortress, I think, is extra special and is something that we want to enhance, not take away from.
Yeah, fingers crossed that continues. But Andrew, a difficult question, I know, but if the government stands firm and that money isn't forthcoming, how then can the NRL improve the quality of these suburban grounds?
Yeah, well, I think there are a couple of things there. One is over time. So the question here is just around how we move to essentially having all of the clubs have a great centre of excellence and a great suburban stadium experience for their fans. Mm. And we have a strategy and we're working plan with each and every club for how that is progressing. It's progressing really well. We're right at the end of that in terms of the strategy and the blueprint in New South Wales. And as I said to you, this is really a matter of, I suppose, flexibility and timing in many respects. We are in active dialogue with the government and we're hopeful to resolve it. That'll play out in the next week, hopefully.
Okay. Andrew, Buzz wrote a story during the week about the potential that Shark Park isn't up to final standard. And if they do secure a home final, that it may have to be moved. Can you update us on where that situation is? And would it be disappointing for Sharks fans if they didn't get the chance to play that final at home?
Yes. I mean, look, we haven't made a final decision on that, but typically week one of the finals, we enable the opportunity for the home club to play at their home ground. And then obviously as we get a situation where further down in the finals, we want to give a bigger opportunity for more people to experience the game live if there are constraints around capacity. And obviously the capacity at the moment at Shark Park is constrained due to the construction. So that's a factor that we have to consider. We will definitely do that, in the coming weeks, well before the finals, be very clear around what the opportunity is. But obviously, this is about getting the balance right then between, getting the most amount of fans possible the opportunity to support their team live, but also, then obviously having the team being able to play at their traditional home venue.
Andrew, just quickly too, can I get an update on where you stand in regards to the West Tigers? I think they might have a board gathering today before the game at Campbelltown to discuss whether they pursue this bid to get those 2 points back. You have made a call that it's not going to happen. Is that flexible or is that now done and dusted as far as you're concerned?
No, I think, the Tigers, will respect what they decide to do. And we have met with their chairman and their CEO, and they obviously put forward their case and we went through a number of issues, relating to that match. Some of which already, our head of football, Graham Amazigh, has explained. I mean, there's a few things there. There's the issue of full-time, the issue of the right to challenge the captain's, the right for the captain's challenge to happen, and then, of course, the actual ruling around the obstruction. Graham Amazigh has already come out and said that we didn't necessarily agree that it was an obstruction. I think, Dean, I think we're hopeful. We've had obviously quite a robust dialogue directly with the club chairman, Lee Hedgepantelis, and the CEO, Justin Pascoe. We have differing views around how the rules were interpreted. I think it's important, though, for us in professional sport to always maintain a level of respect for what happens on the field and the decision-making of the referee. They're human beings, and from time to time, they will make errors, as you've heard me say before. I think we need to, though, for the integrity of the sport, always leave that on the field. That's generally my view and my default position. And so, but we do respect, you know, that the Tigers had a number of questions that they wanted to work through with us. And we expect to be able to say something more formally about this in the coming days.
Yeah, there is a human element involved. We tend to forget that, and humans are not perfect. Is that one of the reasons, Andrew? I know Dino and I agree on this issue about bunkers potentially ruling on a forward pass.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting debate, right? Because on one hand, you want to get the decision absolutely right, and on the other hand, you want the flow of the game to continue in a natural way. And so there's this tension point between the two, right? Between, because, you know, obviously the school of thought to say there's too much interference and too many stoppages to review the decision until, of course, it's your team and you want that decision to be perfect, particularly if it impacts on the result of the game. We are, we have been experimenting and we are testing forward pass technology to make sure that is something that if we choose to, you know, have that available, for example, in try scoring situations, that it works. We're looking at the cost benefit of it all. And of course, and then come back to what I was talking about. Is once we know it works, once we know it's feasible, it's a question of do we want that in as another element of decision making. And I think at the end of the season, we're going to take a very good look at the continuity of the game and to try and see how that balance can be improved. We're always thinking about how we can get better. We know that there are, you know, we set very, very high goals for what we want to offer as an experience for players, coaches, fans, for all the stakeholders in rugby league. And we're always thinking about how we can get better, how we can get less errors and how we can also make the game even more entertaining and engaging and unpredictable and enjoyable to watch. And so if there are ways in which we can refine that at the end of the season, we'll think about that very carefully and the commission will consider all of that and then make a decision. But that is definitely an option.
Andrew, we had one referee for many years and then we wanted two. So we went to two. Then we wanted to go back to one. So we're going back to one. Now we want to go back to two.
What do you want, Dino?
I think one. Personally, I'm happy with one, but it's not about me. What do you think, Andrew? I mean, is the push for two referees legitimate, or are you happy with where we're at the moment?
I think that I haven't seen a huge push coming from for two referees. I think there's a few people that in the game that think that is better, think that allows the ruck to have less, well, have a quicker play of the ball, etc. The statistics don't back that up. So the play the ball speed is certainly wasn't faster when we had two referees. The play the ball speed and the continuity of the ruck, or the lack of the wrestle, so to speak, is much better mitigated by other things. Is what the data is telling us. Having two humans on the field doesn't eliminate the fact that you're not going to be able to see everything. You're not going to be able to get the benefit of getting 100% accuracy always. I personally think that what we've seen with the single referee is definitely having a lot more balance and a lot more flow. But I think the involvement of the bunker is something we need to think about far more carefully than the potentially the introduction of two referees. You'll never say no to anything. It's a call that the commission will have to make. But the data certainly doesn't indicate that having two referees on the field speeds the ruck up or certainly captures significantly more incidents that aren't already being captured.
Andrew, I'll put you on the spot. What's the best thing and the worst thing about being the NRL CEO?
Let me start with the best thing. And probably the two are interlinked. The best thing about the NRL CEO is I get to work in an industry where everything means so much to people. And so whether it's on a Saturday morning at a barbecue, seeing, you know, mums and dads and kids and the community and volunteers come together to, you know, to watch junior football, or whether it's the excitement at an NRL game later that evening. Sport brings us together, gives us an opportunity to escape some of the troubles of the world. And also we learn so much about each other, teamwork, communication. We learn how to win. We learn how to lose. We learn about mateship. We learn about all the emotions that come with wanting something and training for something, discipline and hard work, disappointment. So many positive attributes that we get from sport. And when you work in an industry where it means so much to people and you bring people together like that, how can you not love what you do? Mm. And then linked to that is, of course, with that comes a lot of passion. And so the hardest part, I guess, of being CEO is sometimes when you see everyone's passion spill over, and that spills over sometimes into, you know, some pretty harsh or some pretty extreme views or comments or issues, whether it's, you know, yelling at a referee on the sideline, or whether it's you know, someone complaining about some aspect of the game that's not perfect. Mm. And you've got to take the one with the other. You can't say how fortunate we are to be in a sport where it means so much and people give so much, and then not understand that there is passion involved. So they're too interlinked. But the hardest part of my job, I think, sometimes is just dealing with some very extreme views, and sometimes people looking for what's wrong with the game, not what's right with the game. And
like Dino ringing you up on a Monday morning, Andrew.
We've had our differences, but we've patched them up.
Right, you know, there's so much right with this game, and we all love it. And I just, I'll be honest, it does get me down when I see people focusing on what's wrong with it. Of course, we have to have that. Of course, we have to think about how we get better. But sometimes we just need to stop and realize that rugby league is just part of Australia, that, and it's part of what actually gives us a lot of positivity about what, you know, what we do in life. Anyway, but sorry, that was a long answer, but that's my honesty how I feel.
Yeah, no, well, rugby league is sport, and we all love our sport. Look, Andrew, I know there's plenty of issues bubbling along in NRL, but that's the way that's what we love about the sport. It's so controversial, but it's so enthralling. Thanks for joining us on a Sunday morning, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Nice to chat to both of you.